Thank you for listening to the Grace Chapel Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by our senior pastor, Kurt Henman. For more information about our church, visit our website at gracechapel.cc or follow us on social media at Grace Chapel, Ohio.
Our text today is Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 62. Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 62. We're finishing off the chapter today. Last week, our message was entitled True Greatness, and we saw two principles of true greatness that Jesus gave to us. The first being that true greatness is about humility and not pride, and true greatness is not cliquish. Well, today's message is True Greatness Part 2. It's the second part of what Jesus is pressing into here, and He is going to expose to us, reveal to us, five more principles of true greatness. Well, take a look with me at verse 51. I'm always the last one there. Hopefully, you're there already in your Bibles. Verse 51, it begins. When the days drew near for Him, that is Jesus, to be taken up, that is ultimately taken up to heaven, that is after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Listen, He ascended to heaven. He ascended to the Father. The book of Acts in chapter 1 reveals that to us. He, that is Jesus, set His face to go to Jerusalem. Well, listen, this moment is one of those moments of greater resolve, of greater commitment, of greater focus to accomplish His task, to accomplish His goal, to accomplish the mission that is set before Him. And so listen, likewise, we know this for ourselves, for our lives. Listen, we must resolve ourselves in order to determine our future. Sometimes we need to resolve ourselves again because, quite frankly, we've just gotten lost. Other times we need to make a stronger resolve because, man, we see the battle coming. We can see it ahead of us. We know it's coming, and so we have to strengthen that resolve because we know we're going to go into it. But at some point, listen, we need to drive our stake in the ground and say, you know what, this is who I am, this is what I am about, and this is where I am going. I am going to that end. I'm going to live for this person, for this purpose. This is where I'm headed. I'm not going to be dissuaded. I am going to get it done, whatever it takes. And so here we have Jesus. He's steeled His eyes. He's intensified His face. Listen, He is going to get it done. He is going to Jerusalem, to the cross, to die for our sins in our place, to be our Savior and God. Listen, to be our hero who gives Himself up on our behalf. He died so that we could live. That's the first principle of true greatness. True greatness is marked by steadfast determination. If you're taking notes, true greatness is marked by steadfast determination. Well, let's look at verse 52. It continues, "And He, that being Jesus, sent messengers ahead of Him, who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for Him. But the people did not receive Him because His face was set toward Jerusalem." So the Samaritans here, they didn't welcome Jesus, and the reason why is because they didn't have good relations with the Jews, and so there was prejudice going on here. That is, the Samaritans were a racial group, they were a political group, they were a religious group, they were a cultural group, they were a tribe, and so were the Jews as well. And so listen, they were saying to Jesus here, listen, Jesus, we would accept you if you join our tribe. That is, if you fit yourself into our theology, into our culture, into our cause, then yeah, we'll say yes to you, Jesus. But you know what? It seems like you're for the other tribe. You're for the Jews because, listen, you're headed to Jerusalem. And so, listen, it looks like you're validating them. So we're going to reject you, even though Jesus' very presence of going through Samaria was to validate them. Even though Jesus' trek to Jerusalem was about dying for all tribes, dying for all people. Well, likewise, you know, people today, they tie up all their life, all their identity in a group, an affiliation, a tribe. And so my question for us today is this, you know, what is your tribe? You know, who is your identity? You know, is it your family? Is it a political party? Is it some cause? Is it, you know, your race? Is it your sexual preference? What is your identity? So many people, especially young people, are very passionate and cause-oriented today. But they only accept Jesus to the extent that he validates their group. And so any part of Jesus that doesn't fit their narrative, they reject. But listen, this is my invitation to us today. That listen, we don't change our passion, but listen, we change our cause. That we commit ourselves to the greatest cause of all time. And that is the cause of Jesus Christ, to save souls for eternity. And listen, second, to define ourselves first and foremost by our greatest identity. And our greatest identity, listen, first and foremost, is who we are in Christ. We are one in Christ. We are one body. Christ is the head. We are all sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are one family. And so listen, any other group, cause, whatever we belong to is secondary to Jesus. That is, listen, we don't fit Jesus into our secondary teams. We join his team. And his team is very diverse. Different languages, different cultures, different races, different backgrounds. And so listen, Jesus invites all to follow him. But we need to understand, he doesn't follow anybody. He's God. And so the way that we get on the same page is, listen, we get on his page. Well, Jesus continues in verse 54, he says this, "And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, 'Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?' But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village." That is, listen, Lord, they dissed us. Let's diss them back. You know, let's burn them, God. That's tribalism. And Jesus rebukes them for it because, listen, his mission was to save, not to condemn. His mission was one of mercy, not judgment. And so that is the second principle of true greatness, if you're taking notes. True greatness is marked by mercy, not judgment. True greatness is marked by mercy, not judgment. Verse 57 continues, "As they were going along the road, someone said to him, 'I will follow you wherever you go.'" Now, Jesus is going to say here, you know, you might want to think about that. Are you sure? Are you sure? Verse 58, "And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.'" That is, listen, Jesus doesn't say no to this person. He tells them to think about it. That, listen, following him is not all about crowds and miracles, but it is also about enduring hardship and discomfort. Now, Jesus' point here, he's not saying, you know, he's penniless and he's homeless. What he is saying is that following him, his mission involves sacrifice. It involves foregoing creature comforts. It involves him being on the move. And so listen, if you're taking notes, that's the third principle of true greatness. True greatness puts Jesus before comfort. True greatness puts Jesus before comfort. And so listen, if you're a true follower of Christ, if you're a committed follower of Jesus, then listen, you know the discomfort of loving difficult people. You know the discomfort of giving till it hurts. You know the discomfort of being out of step with the modern culture that is, you know, swimming upstream when everybody's going the other way. You know the discomfort of trying to die to yourself daily. You know the discomfort of being misunderstood and judged and criticized and put into this, you know, pot of Christians of narrow and you know, bigoted and all the stuff that you get pressed into. Verse 59. "To another he said, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' And Jesus said to him, 'Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God.'" Now, at first glance, you know, this seems like a reasonable request of this guy, you know, hey, you know, let me go bury my father. But what we need to know is he's not asking Jesus if he can go dig a grave for his dad. His dad's not dead. If his father was dead, he wouldn't be there in this moment. But what he is saying to Jesus is, listen, Jesus, I love you, man. I want to follow you, but listen, I have some family obligations. That is, listen, I'm not sure how my family's going to feel about this, and I really need to hang in there with them in order that I might obtain my inheritance. And so listen, Jesus, remember my face. Remember this face, because, you know, when I get that all taken care of, when all that is in place, listen, I'll be back. You know, I'm not going to follow you now, but then, Lord, you know, after everything is said, after all those things are in order, then I'll follow you, Lord. So many people fall in to this trap, and I've seen it over the years where, you know, college students will say, man, I love Jesus, you know, I want to follow him, I'm all in, you know, but listen, I'm in college, I'm studying, you know, once I get this taken care of, once I get this off my plate, you know, then, not now, but you know, once I get this set, then I will go all in for Jesus. Or listen, you know what, I'm trying to get my career off the ground. I'm trying to, you know, provide for my family, get my family set. So once I get my things in order, once I get this secured, once I figure out this, not now, I don't have time now, but then I'll follow you. And listen, I've seen it over and over again. They never do. And so Jesus is saying here to us, it is not someday, it is today. He is saying to us, we must make him our top priority now. There must be an urgency to us following Jesus now. There must be an urgency to us proclaiming the gospel now, because this is what happens, and I've seen it over and over again. We blow off a day, a month, a year, a decade, a life. Well, that's the next principle of true greatness, if you're taking notes. True greatness makes Jesus the top priority now. True greatness makes Jesus the top priority. Not then, not someday, now. Well, Jesus continues with another scenario. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. That is, listen, the previous person said, hey, I'll follow you, Jesus, after a long delay, or at least an indefinite one. And this person is basically saying, hey, I'll follow you, Jesus, but after a short delay. You know, I just know I need to go back and give a quick goodbye. But listen, this is what Jesus knows. He knows if they go back, they are never moving forward. And once again, I've seen this over the years, had many conversations where people have come to know the Lord. They're excited about the Lord. They've turned toward Jesus. They've been convicted to leave their old life, their old ways, their old lifestyles. But listen, they just go back to give a farewell to old acquaintances, to an old girlfriend, to an old boyfriend, to give that last kiss, to give that last handshake, and I never see him again. You cannot go forward by looking back. Listen, we can look back for reference. We can glance back in order to learn from our past. We can glance back, just like when we're driving. We can look to the rearview mirror to get some reference. But if we're going to go forward, then we got to keep our eyes looking forward through the windshield, focusing on what is ahead. That is, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. Well, Jesus continues in verse 62. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. That is, Jesus ultimately uses an analogy of plowing here. And isn't that what Jesus is exemplifying? He has put his hands to the plow. He has set his face towards Jerusalem. He is plowing straight toward the cross, and he's not looking back. He is plowing his row. And listen, you and I have a row to plow as well. And we are to set our face as well. We are to put our hands to the plow as well. And we are to look not to Jerusalem, but to the new Jerusalem that will be coming down from heaven when Jesus returns and his kingdom comes to earth. We are to set our minds on the things above when Jesus returns. We are to maintain our focus on what is to come. And listen, the best is yet to come for us, church. This is bad as it gets. The best is yet to come for us. And so we set our focus, we set our gaze, we set our affections on what is to be. And that is the last principle of true greatness. True greatness maintains its focus. True greatness maintains its focus. Well, let's pray.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. For more sermons like this, visit us online at gracechapel.cc.